You ever think about how, like those big tech companies, the ones everyone thinks are going to be around forever, how sometimes they just, well, they don't.
Yeah, it can be kind of shocking, right? Like one minute they're on top of the world and the next.
Gone, or, well, not gone, gone, but like not the giants they used to be. And that's what we're digging into today.
Ooh, sounds juicy. Who are we talking about?
Intel. Based on this document, paste to text, we're going to try to figure out if they can, make a comeback. Most people probably just think of them for processors, right?
Right, like the brains of our computers.
Exactly. But there was a time when Intel was computing, basically. Like, they were in everything. Desktops, laptops, those giant server farms. So can they get back to that level? That's the big question.
Well, to understand that, I think we need to go back a bit, like back to Intel's golden age, their S86 architecture. That was like the foundation of the PC revolution.
Yeah, I mean, for decades, they were the undisputed king of the hill.
Absolutely. Like you couldn't talk about computers without talking about Intel. They were synonymous.
But then things started to, well, they hit some bumps in the road, as our source lays out. Several, actually. And one of the biggest ones was, get this, manufacturing problems. It's kind of wild to think about, Intel, the company that was always pushing the limits of chip making.
Yeah, they were the pioneers.
Right. And they fell behind.
It's all about this thing called process nodes, like how small they can make the transistors on a chip. And Intel got stuck trying to move from 10 nanometer, which was already tiny, to 7 nanometer.
So, like, smaller is better, right?
Oh yeah, way better. Think of it like packing for a trip. The smaller you can fold your clothes, the more you can fit in your suitcase. Same with chips. Smaller transistors mean more power and efficiency in the same space. But Intel, they just couldn't get 7 nanometer to work reliably for the longest time.
And while they were stuck, other companies like zoomed past them, like AMD, they used TSMC, this company in Taiwan, that was nailing those smaller nodes.
And that's huge. TSMC is like the master sheriff of chip making. Everyone wants their recipes. And AMD was smart enough to partner up.
So suddenly, AMD's Ryzen processors for desktops and laptops and their EPYC chips for servers, they were actually competitive with Intel, but in a lot of cases, better and more power efficient, which is huge for laptops and data centers.
Totally. It's like if you're running a massive cloud service, those electricity bills are no joke. So every little bit of efficiency matters. And then there's Apple. They just dropped Intel like a hot potato.
Oh, yeah, with their whole M1 chip thing. That was a big blow, right? I mean, Apple basically said, see you later, Intel. We can do this ourselves and do it better.
It was a power move for sure. And it showed how much the landscape had shifted. Like manufacturing prowess became the ultimate weapon in the chip wars.
Okay, so they had manufacturing issues. But there's another major trend Intel seems to have missed. The whole AI and GPU explosion. Like, they just weren't ready for that, were they?
It does make you wonder, huh? AI and GPUs, those are the engines driving everything from self-driving cars to like the coolest video games, not to mention all the crazy scientific research that's going on.
And who's dominating those areas?
NVIDIA, they're like the undisputed king of AI chips. And even AMD, they really stepped up their GPU game. Meanwhile, Intel was, well, they had some attempts like Gaudi and Habana Labs.
Which, I gotta be honest, I haven't heard much about. Have they even made a dent?
Not really. And that's a big problem for Intel. They're playing catch up in these rapidly growing markets, and it's not easy to dethrone a king, you know?
It's kind of crazy to think how things can change so fast in tech. But let's go back to the document for a second. It also points out a bunch of strategic missteps that Intel made.
Oh, yeah, it reads like a cautionary tale almost. Like, even the best can stumble if they're not careful.
So, like, what kind of missteps are we talking about?
Well, they had a lot of CEO turnover, which can be destabilizing. They totally missed out on the whole mobile revolution, like smartphones and tablets, which is a massive market.
And their GPU ambitions, those didn't really pan out, did they?
Nope, not at all. And the market, well, the market noticed all of this, big time, meaning their stock price took a hit, especially compared to companies like, the ones we mentioned, NVIDIA, AMD, TSMC. Their valuations were soaring while Intel was lagging behind. Investors were worried about shrinking profit margins, a lack of innovation, all that.
Oof, that's gotta hurt. But hey, this deep dive isn't about kicking Intel while they're down, right? They are trying to make a comeback.
Right. The document talk about how they're investing heavily in next generation chips, including these super important things called the 20A and 18A process nodes.
Wait, those are even smaller than 7 nanometer?
Oh yeah, way smaller, like mind-bogglingly small. It's the next frontier in chip making.
So if Intel can nail these new nodes,
they could have a serious edge. Like, imagine the performance and efficiency jumps we could see. It could be huge, a real game changer.
And they're also getting into foundry services, right?
Yep, basically becoming a chip maker for other companies, kind of like what TSMC does. It's a smart move, could bring in a lot of revenue and attract partners who need those cutting-edge chips.
So it sounds like there's hope for Intel after all. But it's not going to be a walk in the park, right?
Definitely not. They've got a lot of ground to cover. They need to regain leadership in manufacturing, deliver on those 20A and 18A chips, and make some serious moves in AI and GPUs.
It's a tall order, but hey, we've seen crazier things happen in the tech world, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the best part is, this whole story, it's not just about some corporate battle. It directly affects you and me, like the tech we use every day.
Yeah, think about it. What kind of laptop are you using? What's powering your phone? Have you noticed how good those new Apple chips are?
It's all connected, and it's fascinating to watch how these industry shifts play out and how they shape the technology landscape.
So what stands out to you from all this? What are your thoughts on Intel's chances? Let us know. And there's so much more to Intel's story that we could cover here too, like their work on quantum computing and sustainability.
Yeah, that's a whole other rabbit hole.
Definitely. But we'll save that for another deep dive. Until then, keep those processors humming.